Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we're diving into The Fear Factor by Abigail Marsh. This thought-provoking book sheds new light on fear, a complex emotion traditionally seen as negative. Marsh reveals how fear is intricately linked to positive traits such as empathy and altruism, offering a fresh perspective on how our most primal emotions shape our moral compass. Abigail Marsh is not only a renowned neuroscientist but also a psychologist based at Georgetown University. Her extensive research into human social interactions has earned her accolades and features in prominent publications like The Times, The Huffington Post, and on NPR. The Fear Factor is a must-read for those eager to transform their understanding of fear from a barrier into a motivating force. Whether you're interested in neurology, wish to foster a more altruistic lifestyle, or are simply curious about turning your fears into stepping stones for personal growth, this book will guide you through understanding the noble aspects of fear. Join us as we explore how mastering our fears can lead to a more compassionate and courageous life. The Fear Factor: How One Emotion Connects Altruists, Psychopaths, and Everyone in Between. Introduction. Understanding fear: how it shapes our actions and altruism. Typically, fear is seen through a negative lens, a haunting emotion that most strive to conquer or hide from the world. However, what if fear isn't always the adversary we make it out to be? What if, in its own complex way, fear could lead us to perform acts of profound kindness and courage? Today, we're diving into an intriguing exploration of fear, illustrating that feeling frightened doesn't necessarily inhibit heroic deeds. Based on extensive research and experimental studies, some crafted by the author themselves, we gain a fresh perspective on how fear influences our behaviors, often in ways we might not expect. Throughout this narrative, you will unearth the cognitive mechanics behind the seemingly cold decisions of psychopaths, the neurological roots of parental instincts, and insights into which nations rank highest in acts of generosity. Join us as we shift the narrative on fear from a paralyzing agent to a potential catalyst for good, motivating not only self-protection, but also the protection and well-being of others. Part 1: The Intricate Link Between Empathy, Fear Recognition, and Altruism. Empathy encapsulates our ability to tune into the emotions of others, sometimes to the point where we vicariously experience their feelings. It's common to categorize people as inherently empathetic and kind or innately uncaring and harsh. Yet, empathy isn't just an innate trait. It often depends on where we direct our attention. Furthermore, the levels of empathy we experience can be influenced or even manipulated to some extent. Let's look at an intriguing experiment inspired by a seminal 1978 study by psychologist Daniel Batson, as detailed in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. The author adapted this study into an experiment where participants listened to a radio interview recounting the struggles of a woman named Katie, who lost her parents and was left to take care of her younger siblings while juggling multiple jobs and pursuing a college degree. Before the interview, some listeners were instructed to focus on the technical aspects of Katie's narrative, such as the sequence of events or factual details. In contrast, others were directed to immerse themselves in understanding and feeling the emotions that Katie expressed. Subsequently, participants were given the opportunity to donate to Katie, and those who focused on her emotions contributed significantly more than those who paid attention to the technicalities. Additionally, this study ventured into the realm of fear recognition. After the interview, participants were presented with photographs depicting various emotional expressions: happiness, sadness, anger, and fear. The findings were particularly revealing. Participants who struggled to identify happiness but were adept at recognizing fear were also the most generous donors. This correlation leads us to an insightful conclusion. Being attuned to the fear in others might enhance altruistic behaviors, The capacity to recognize and empathize with someone's fear appears to be a strong predictor of one's willingness to help. This insight not only broadens our understanding of empathy, but also underscores the complex ways in which our perceptions of emotions can drive our actions toward others. Part 2: The critical role of the amygdala in fear and empathy, particularly in psychopaths. In our discussions on empathy and the detection of fear, one component of the brain stands out as particularly crucial: the amygdala. This almond-shaped structure acts as an alarm system, detecting potential threats and initiating the appropriate fear responses. This could range from encountering dangerous wildlife to treading too close to a precipice, where the amygdala signals your body to take steps to ensure safety. This response includes physiological reactions like accelerated heart rate, increased blood pressure, greater oxygen intake, and adrenaline release, coupled with emotional sensations of anxiety and heightened awareness. There's a direct correlation between the functionality of the amygdala and the ability to experience fear. An impaired amygdala, often observed in individuals known as psychopaths, results in a diminished fear response. This dysfunction contributes significantly to the behavioral traits observed in psychopathic individuals, particularly their inability to recognize or understand fear in a typical sense. For insight, consider the narrative of a discussion between criminal psychologist Robert Hare and a convicted psychopath who had committed sexual assaults. The psychopath acknowledged his awareness of his victim's fear, but confessed to a lack of personal understanding of the emotion. He described occasional feelings of fear, but classified them as untroubling, which suggests a distorted perception and experience of fear, likely due to amygdala impairment. This deficit not only hampers a psychopath's ability to empathize with the fear experienced by others, but also affects their grasp of the moral consequences that should deter threatening or violent actions. Thus, the function of the amygdala is not only foundational in mediating our own fear responses, but crucial in fostering an understanding and empathy towards the fear experienced by those around us. Part 3: Exploring the unique amygdala responses in altruists versus anxious individuals. Intrigued by the noble acts of altruism, particularly those involving significant personal sacrifices, like organ donation, the author engaged with individuals who had voluntarily chosen to donate kidneys through the United Network for Organ Sharing. In 2010 alone, 205 courageous people had stepped forward to donate an organ to a stranger. This act of profound generosity sparked a question: what drives such selflessness? To delve deeper, the author assembled a group of 12 kidney donors and conducted a study that involved observing their brain responses to various emotional stimuli, particularly images depicting facial expressions of fear. Contrary to what might be expected, these altruists exhibited a higher level of amygdala activity in response to fearful faces compared to control subjects. This heightened response suggested a unique neural processing pattern in altruists. Although the exact causal relationship between this increased amygdala activity and altruistic behavior could not be definitively established, the study considered several interpretations. One theory suggested that seeing a fearful face might heighten an individual's alertness to surrounding dangers, potentially triggering a fight-or-flight response. To test other emotional triggers, the participants were then shown images of angry faces. Interestingly, this time, the control group's amygdalas showed more activity than those of the altruists, suggesting that the earlier heightened responses in the altruists were not merely reactions to perceived threats or general anxiety. This finding was underscored by contrasting the amygdala activation in altruists with that in individuals experiencing anxiety, who generally show strong amygdala reactions to various negative stimuli, including anger and contempt, not just fear. This hinted at a distinct neural pathway activating in altruists, specifically in response to fear, which does not correlate directly with general anxiety or broader negative emotional processing. Moreover, the altruists didn't just exhibit more significant amygdala responses to fearful expressions. they were also more adept at recognizing these expressions. This skill suggests an enhanced perceptual sensitivity to the emotional state of fear in others, potentially enabling greater empathy and prompting more profound altruistic impulses. Thus, the study illuminated a fascinating link between the neural activities in the brain and the moral inclinations to help and empathize with others in distress. Part 4, Altruists: Bridging the Gap Between Fear and Courage. It's a common misconception that altruists, known for their remarkable acts of kindness and bravery, are themselves devoid of fear. In reality, altruists experience fear just as intensely as anyone else. The key distinction lies not in the absence of fear, but in how they respond to it, especially when others are in need. Research indicates that while psychopaths may exhibit a lack of fear, brave individuals, including those we celebrate for their altruism, are often highly sensitive to fearful situations. Consider the poignant example of Cory Booker, former mayor of Newark, who famously rescued his neighbor from a burning building in 2012. Despite his courageous act, Booker openly admitted to feeling intense fear during the rescue. This admission sheds light on a critical aspect of bravery. It's not about a lack of fear, but the ability to act despite it. Participants in the author's study, specifically the kidney donors, also reflected this pattern. Although these individuals took the bold step to donate a kidney, they generally preferred to steer clear of risks in other areas of their lives, such as fearing to fly or worrying about running out of gas during a trip. Far from being fearless, they are, in fact, quite cautious and aware of potential dangers. This phenomenon suggests that altruistic actions are driven not by an absence of fear, but by a compelling need to help others, which overrides their personal fears. Altruists' heightened sensitivity to others' fear, combined with their own, fuels their empathy, guiding them to perform self-sacrificial acts. However, how do altruists overcome their intrinsic fears to help others? One part of the answer might lie in the emotional response they experience during altruistic acts. For some, the act of helping itself might transform fear into a sensation of exhilaration or elation. Evidence from the kidney donors in the study hinted at this transformation, as many expressed feelings of excitement or profound satisfaction despite the inherent risks of the surgery. As we delve deeper into the psychological and emotional landscapes of altruists, we start to appreciate the complex interplay of fear, empathy, and courage that shapes their actions. Part 5, Linking Oxytocin to Parental Instincts and Altruistic Behaviors. Continuing our exploration into the biological factors influencing altruism, we turn our attention from the amygdala to another crucial component, oxytocin. This peptide hormone, often heralded as a key influencer in nurturing behaviors, not only fosters parental instincts, but might also underpin the heroic actions often associated with altruists. In one particularly revealing study conducted by the author, participants were administered a small nasal dose of oxytocin and then shown an array of facial photographs, ranging from infants to adults. The results were fascinating. The oxytocin appeared to enhance participants' positive responses to images of babies, fostering a protective and nurturing attitude, while also increasing wariness towards potential threats from unfamiliar adults. Moreover, this hormone heightened the participants' ability to discern emotional expressions in babies, especially signs of fear. This connection between oxytocin and protective instincts extends beyond mere parental care. The hormone may also play a pivotal role in driving the selfless and sometimes risky actions of altruists. Consider how parental figures typically react in hazardous situations. More often than not, they do not flee, abandoning their young, but instead confront the peril to shield their offspring. Such instincts could well be amplified by oxytocin, suggesting a hormonal foundation for acts of bravery beyond parental duties. This theory gains further support from animal studies, including a 2016 experiment involving rats. When given oxytocin and placed in high-risk scenarios, These rats exhibited clear signs of fear, yet did not succumb to paralysis or flight. Contrastingly, without the influence of oxytocin, their responses veered towards freeze or flight behaviors. Thus, it seems plausible that oxytocin plays a significant role in emboldening individuals, be they parents or altruists, to confront fearful situations not with retreat, but with resolve and readiness to assist others. This hormone, therefore, may be a biological cornerstone, linking the instinctual drive to protect and nurture with the moral fiber to act heroically in the face of danger. Part 6. Could boosting literacy enhance empathy and curb global violence? Amidst global discussions about empathy and generosity, Myanmar emerges as a beacon, claiming the top spot on the World Giving Index. What's equally impressive is that Myanmar also boasts a literacy rate surpassing 90%. This begs the question, could there be a significant link between high literacy rates and enhanced empathy? Exploring this connection, it's worth considering how literacy could potentially be a powerful tool in expanding empathy within populations globally. Literature, by its very nature, allows readers to experience the world through the eyes of characters from diverse cultural backgrounds. This vicarious experience is akin to how empathy functions. By placing us in another's shoes, literature extends our emotional and cognitive boundaries. Moreover, compared to other media types, such as television or films, books offer a more profound connection. Visual media often emphasize external attributes, clothing, skin color, accents, which can inadvertently reinforce stereotypes and prejudice, obstructing empathetic engagement. Books circumvent these visual judgments, providing a direct conduit to a character's internal thoughts and struggles, allowing empathy to flourish in a more unobstructed manner. If literacy can indeed foster empathy, it might also play a strategic role in reducing violence globally. This notion is supported by Steven Pinker in his work, The Better Angels of Our Nature, where he argues that literacy not only enhances empathy, but particularly towards those who are different from us. This expanded empathy could lead to a more peaceful global society. A compelling piece of evidence supporting this theory comes from an experiment by psychologist Daniel Batson. Participants in Batson's study were either given a heartfelt note from a woman describing her anguish over a recent breakup, or were not exposed to her personal thoughts at all. Subsequently, when given the option to cooperate with or oppose her in a game, 28% of those who read her note chose to collaborate with her, demonstrating empathy's power to foster cooperation. Conversely, those who hadn't read her emotional expression showed no inclination to cooperate. This study vividly illustrates how literacy, by enabling access to personal narratives and internal monologues, might significantly encourage empathy and, by extension, reduce antagonistic behaviors. Through understanding and connection fostered by reading, literacy could very well be a pivotal factor in crafting a more empathetic and less violent world. Part 7. Cultivating altruism through the practice of compassion meditation. Altruism isn't an inborn trait that randomly manifests. Instead, it develops through deliberate and consistent practice. Drawing from the previous discussions about kidney donors, it's evident that these individuals didn't suddenly wake up one day as altruists. Their journey involved regular engagement in charitable activities, such as blood donation and volunteering, suggesting that altruism is both nurtured and cultivated over time. Further supporting this idea, neuroscience research illustrates how nurturing behaviors, once habituated, can become self-sustaining. For instance, studies on mother rats demonstrate that the initial care for offspring is driven by neurological triggers activated by hormones like oxytocin. However, after a period of nurturing, these behaviors persist even without hormonal stimulation, indicating that altruistic actions, once practiced, can solidify into habits. So, how can one begin to nurture such altruistic habits in oneself? An effective method proposed is the Buddhist practice of compassion meditation. This practice isn't just a spiritual exercise, It's an active training of the mind to cultivate kindness and empathy. Beginning this practice involves finding a serene spot and a comfortable position to sit. The initial focus should be on achieving a calm and steady breathing pattern, providing a foundation for deeper meditation. The next step is to set a clear intention for the meditation, centering on kindness and compassion toward oneself and extending outward to others. This involves mentally embracing the feelings of love and care, experienced towards close individuals, family members, or dear friends, and progressively extending these sentiments towards wider circles of people, including acquaintances, colleagues, and even those one may consider adversaries. The objective is to gradually expand the sphere of compassion to encompass all beings, ensuring that this inclusivity also circles back to oneself. Practitioners of compassion meditation often report a marked increase in feelings of empathy towards people they would typically overlook or dismiss. This ultimately guides them towards more altruistic behaviors, providing support and assistance where it's needed, regardless of their relationship with the other person. This form of meditation not only deepens individual capacities for empathy, but also acts as a practical training ground for habitual altruism, potentially transforming intermittent charitable acts into a sustained altruistic lifestyle. Final summary. The central theme of this exploration delves into the complex nature of fear, an emotion typically viewed negatively, yet profoundly influential in driving empathy and altruistic actions. Contrary to common perceptions, fear does not solely paralyze. It can also catalyze compassionate behaviors and heroic deeds. The absence of fear, often observed in psychopaths, underscores the vital role this emotion plays in fostering social and moral behaviors that are crucial for communal living. Neurologically, aspects like the functioning of the amygdala are pivotal in triggering the fear response, which in turn can enhance empathetic engagement. Interestingly, altruism and empathy, while influenced by natural brain processes, are not fixed traits and can be cultivated through practices such as compassion, meditation, and enhanced literacy. These activities not only deepen understanding and connection among diverse peoples, but also promote a society inclined towards generosity and kindness. Overall, this narrative offers a fresh perspective on fear, positioning it not just as an emotion to be overcome, but as a gateway to greater empathetic and altruistic human interactions. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.